Episode 2, Listening. This is the Dearly, Deeply Burdened podcast. Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 2 of the Dearly, Deeply Burdened podcast. I am your host, Miriam, and I'm so excited for today's episode. Today, we're going to be talking about listening. Listening to what God calls us to, listening and responding, and how we do that as believers. This is a conversation that I've had with a lot of people, including the interview that I referenced in the last episode, where when I'm asked, why do you do what you do? And I say, God told me to, people will follow up with, what do you mean by that? Which is completely understandable. Even if you are a Christian, and this podcast is geared towards Christians that believe the same thing that we believe, that God speaks, that He moves, that He has plans for our lives, right? Even with that baseline, when you tell people that God called you to do something, there are follow-up questions. There are questions about how and when and why. And so I'm going to talk about a couple different ways that God speaks and the ways that we can listen and how we are meant to interpret His direction and His redirection as believers. Not because I am exceptionally good at this or because I feel overly qualified, but because people keep asking. And this is how God has revealed Himself to me. I was saved at a very young age. I want to say I wasn't older than 4 when I got saved, and I don't remember a time in my life where I did not recognize God as being real and alive and a part of my daily communication. Part of this was from having parents who were recently saved when I was really young. Part of it is just, you know, God's timing. So when we talk about listening to God as believers, our very first thing is going to be going back to Scripture, going into the Word, because that is the place that He has already spoken to us so clearly. It is a gift. It is the inspired, infallible Word of God. And you might be thinking, well, Scripture has a lot to it. It's got a lot of stories, there's pieces of it that aren't meant to be what you walk out, and yes, but you learn who God is from the truth contained in Scripture. All of these stories are testimonies of how God directs and leads us closer to Him, and it's all true. And if we begin with that baseline, then we kind of have a good starting point for listening to God and knowing Him. I want to include a few verses before we get too much further. And the first one is Psalm 19:7 through 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The next one is 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, and it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Psalm 33:4 says, For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. Psalm 105 says, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. All of these verses are giving us a context from which we read the Bible. It is giving us a place to start. I want to know more about God, and I'm going to go directly into what He has spoken to me, going to go directly to the word that He has given me. So when people say that God spoke to them, they might be referring to the Bible. And you can claim that because the word is alive. The word is for you, and it is meant for you to listen to the word of God. The next verse I'm going to read comes from Acts. It is referencing Joel 2, or, you know, calling back to Joel 2, and it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit, out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." This is another way that we believe that the Lord speaks. And one thing that's really important, if we're believing on these literal visions, if we are believing on prophecy, if we're believing on dreams, is knowing that these things will never be in contradiction to the word of God. The visions, the prophecies, they will never be in contradiction to the infallible word of God that we have in Scripture. God does speak to his people through dreams and through prophecy, and it's a beautiful thing. And so when people say that they heard from God, it may come in this format. You might be feeling the same way. Does it line up with Scripture? Is it peaceful? Is it true? All of these things. God can speak to you through this, but we got to know how to interpret it. We got to know how to walk it out. The next thing that happens when we are trying to discern is going to be in prayer. And God does hear and answer prayers. We have this verse from 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it's a pattern that we are given throughout Scripture. And God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." This verse that God has given is describing a posture from which we are to pray, praying believing that he hears, pray believing that he will answer. And there are moments where we have really deep clarity and conviction, and then there are moments, and I've been following God again. I've been blessed to be doing my life with God for as long as I can remember, and there are moments where these things are really easy, and it makes sense, and you are thinking everything's on track, and you're hearing so clearly, and then there are moments where it feels like silence. And that's hard. But if we believe all of these verses that we've just read, then we believe that God wants to communicate with us. We believe he's not looking for a reason to get rid of us. And we believe that he has a plan for our lives. If he's going to communicate with us for any reason, it is so that we can continue with him. So if you are listening for God, if you are waiting, the number one thing that we're going to just keep going back to is get into the word, because he has spoken to you and he does not change. For me, with Empty Frames Initiative, when we first started, it was during a difficult season of transition. I was transitioning from different college things, from doing some mission work. I had been applying for mission work, I'd been applying for colleges, and I kept having all these closed doors, and I was so confused. I didn't have a clear direction on what God was calling me to do. I just knew that he was leading me somewhere. And I felt a lot of times this word, wait. And it wasn't something that I could be like, no, God told me to wait. It was literally just, I can't do anything but wait, because I know he's doing something. And God opened up a door, which allowed me to meet this incredible group of entrepreneurs out in California, who I shared pieces of the Empty Frames Initiative vision, which at the time it had just been, I just had this idea of working with couples as they were adopting and photographing adoptions and somehow pouring back into widows of military spouses. It was a very basic vision, But when I was speaking with them, I also had this name come to mind, and I do believe it was God-inspired, Empty Frames. And when I pitched this idea to this group of entrepreneurs, they were like, we really like the name and nothing else. So we're going to tell you to dig deeper. And I spent 3 weeks out in California with them through a incubator, and it was part of this conference called 21 Project with the Circuit Riders and YWAM, and it was such a great experience. And during that time, we spent a lot of our energy in prayer. We were at this entrepreneur group who were brilliant. They worked with Microsoft, they worked with Disney, they were a big deal, and they still are, obviously. But they spent as much time encouraging us to go into prayer as they did critiquing our works and our ideas. And while I was there, there was this one group prayer session, and the girl next to me started praying out loud, and she was like, I see these empty storehouses. I see warehouses, and God is just waiting to fill them up. And this was her prayer, and she was doing this. And as she was praying aloud, God brought to mind these buildings that I had seen in Eastern Europe when I had been there, these dilapidated Soviet buildings that were, to me, there were a couple that I was like, that's actually kind of gorgeous. It had windows all the way around it. But for the most part, they're pretty block-ish and dysfunctional, and they don't use them anymore. And I had this memory of talking to somebody when I was out there in Eastern Europe, and I was like, why are these buildings not torn down? Why aren't they at least using them? What's happening? And they said that these buildings would cost more to tear down than to leave up, but nobody wants to use them because it reminds them of Soviet occupation. And it was one of those things where God was moving through the prayers of other people. God was moving through memory. God was moving through faith. And so he told me in a way that my soul was listening for God to speak. And I didn't make the decision to start Empty Frames from that. That wasn't enough. So I built this idea. I was like, how would we even, you know, utilize these buildings? I knew it was a calling to orphan care, but I was like, I don't know what that would look like. Maybe we could do like life skills. Maybe there's things that they need. And then as I was delving into this, and again, this was about 10 years ago, the concept of aging out was brought to my attention. And I feel like aging out has gotten a lot more traction these last 10 years, especially in the United States. But when youth age out, whether that be, you know, 16 is kind of common in Eastern Europe, 18 to 21 here in the U.S., they're on their own. And they're really vulnerable to people looking to exploit their circumstances. And so all of these pieces kind of started coming together, and it became this vision for Empty Frames Initiative, which was to take these abandoned spaces and redeem them to equip people for their calling, and to show all of us that what the world dismisses can be used for God's purposes. And that there's no reason to stay in a mentality of being abandoned. And it sounds a little, there's so much to Empty Frames Initiative. There's so much to the name, but that was really where the core of it started. And again, even as this all came together, I was like, well, that's a really beautiful vision. Cool. That would be nice. But I started to feel this pulling and this conviction deepening. And someone asked me while I was out there, more than one person actually, because I was sharing the idea, because I was like, how cool would that be? And there's all these people there with, you know, the finances to do it. I was not and am not in the position to completely finance this venture, but I was surrounded by these people who could. And so I was sharing the vision, And they're like, well, are you going to do it? And at the time, I was 20. And I was like, I mean, if God said to, but that, like, I'm not in a position to do that. I would love to. I'm not in a position to do that. And when this incubator program wrapped up, I had told people, I was like, you know, God would have to be pretty specific. And I had told my family, and they were, and it was just one of those things where I was like, God would have to be pretty specific. At the end of the incubator program, there were probably 20 projects, and I was one of, I might have been the only nonprofit. There might have been maybe one other nonprofit group being pitched. But of this group, three people were chosen to get continued support from this entrepreneur group. And Empty Frames Initiative was one of the groups chosen. And in that moment, God really did kind of affirm that, yes, this is where you're supposed to be investing your time and your life right now. And I brought it back home. I brought it to my family. I brought it to my church. And they also came alongside and affirmed, yes, this is what God is doing. So I think that, you know, there's so much to the idea of listening, and confirmation of what God's saying is not a bad thing. It's good to be intentional with your time and with your listening. And I had already been aware that God called me to orphan care since I was 14 or 15. I just didn't know to what capacity. So there was a part of me that I was already halfway to a yes. But that specific plan, God affirmed through the people around me. Proverbs 20:18 says, plans are established by counsel, by wise counsel wage war. And scripture actually affirms this a lot as well. You know, we make plans. We are following after Christ. And we should surround ourselves with others who are doing the same thing, who can hold us accountable to our calling, and who can affirm us in the direction that He would have us to go. There have been moments after hearing this that God has clarified and redirected, but it did not change the original calling. So one of the first changes that happened, that was, again, it was a God redirection and Him speaking. And I'm going to start with this just concept. If you are open to the Lord speaking, He is going to speak to you. And I've gone through some really difficult seasons where I felt like I didn't hear anything. And if you are in that season, I pray for you right now that you would hear this. God sees you. He knows you. He is with you. And He is speaking to you. He is wrapping you right now. And you are okay. You're going to be okay. For me, when we first started this, I had been going for a couple months, and I had really thought that we were supposed to start in Eastern Europe where those Soviet buildings were. But I had all these people on my team, and as I was meeting more orphan care and nonprofit groups, they were saying, you know, we need this in the U.S. And I was like, that's cool. We needed it everywhere. Kind of the idea. And I wasn't trying to be obnoxious about it. It just was like, well, I feel led to do it in Eastern Europe. That's where this whole thing started in my heart. That's what I thought was supposed to be happening. And at the time, a lot of the data around the connection of orphan care or foster care to human trafficking came out of the Ukraine and Russia. I don't know why that was, but in 2015, the data that was there had been gathered in the Ukraine and Russia. And so when these youth were aging out of care, they would like immediately be on the street and there'd be traffickers waiting outside for them, right? Like it was so horrific, this concept, that I was like, okay, Eastern Europe, that's it. During my downtime from working on this project, I was watching TV and I was watching the show Criminal Minds. I don't recommend it. I'm just explaining. Criminal Minds had this one episode on human trafficking here in the U.S. that broke me. And I was shocked about this concept. I came from Texas. Human trafficking looks different in Texas than it looks in other parts of the U.S. It is the same, and I've learned so much in the last 10 years, and we'll talk about that later. But at the time, this concept of human trafficking, I didn't realize was happening in the U.S., and so I looked up online. I was like, okay, let's just check foster care and human trafficking, North Carolina, which is where I was living at the time. And this organization came up, and it was talking about how over 80% of the clients, the youth clients that this organization served, had been in the foster care system, and they had been trafficked. And I reached out to the director of this nonprofit, and she got back with me right away, and it was amazing the way that God directed all of this. But she confirmed for me, yes, here in the United States, youth in the foster care system and youth aging out of the foster care system are extremely vulnerable to human trafficking. It was through that one conversation that I got connected to the anti-trafficking movement in North Carolina, which has led to national connections in the anti-trafficking field. And it was through that connection that God really did say, hey, pause. I'm doing my own thing, and you need to be listening. And so it was a surrendering on my part of my plans to let God redirect us to starting our first program in the U.S. with the intention of a global movement. And again, this goes back to the plans are established by counsel, by wise counsel, wage war, that verse in Proverbs 20:18. God is going to do his will, and we need to be obedient to that as we are listening. We can hear him. He does speak, and we have to believe that it is an ongoing conversation. It does not change the original plan. It never negated that we were still going to do everything we could to get a space in Eastern Europe. It was just God redirecting, and I still have friends in Eastern Europe who are ready and waiting for us to get this started there. The last thing I just want to talk about with listening is when there's nothing, this assurance, and this same concept came from our great friends at Circuit Riders. I'm such a fan of their work. One of their speakers said this, and it really helped me in a lot of difficult seasons of Empty Frames Initiative. If you know that God does not change, you don't need to keep praying for him to give you something to do, because he told you what to do. God gave you something to do. If he gave you something to do, why are you going back asking for more? Why are you going back asking for him to tell you to do something? He is waiting for your obedience. And that was such a big deal to me. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good?" And then James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." God doesn't change. If you feel called to something, if you've gotten confirmation after confirmation, if God has told you to do something, it's your turn. It is your turn to be obedient, to answer, to go, to do, knowing that he goes before and behind you, knowing that he is making a way, knowing that if you only have one step forward that you can see, that is sufficient. That is obedience. And he will continue to walk with you through that. And it's faith. I won't pretend it's easy. It's faith. And it's worth it. I am so excited, guys. That's the end of this episode. On our next episode, we're going to talk about the concept of social justice here and in heaven. All right. Thanks. Bye.